Hi, everybody. This is Marlene with Miami Ghost Chronicles: Stories of the Supernatural. And tonight I have a super special guest. This is someone that I met like maybe less than a month ago when I was at Scarefest in Lexington. And needless to say, I was so thrilled because for such a long time I had been wanting to speak and interview somebody like her. She's not only a psychic, she's a pet psychic. And her name is Carrie Kennedy. And Carrie, she lives in Lexington, Kentucky. And not only is she psychic about pets, she's a psychic medium and also an intuitive empath. And what that means is that she can read your present energy and along as well as whatever might have happened to you in the past. And she can also bring you important messages from your spirit guides, your angels, and she's also a certified Reiki master. So she offers, so in other words, she offers healing sessions with not only people and pets, both. But let me get her on. Carrie, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thank you for that intro.
Oh, of course. No, it's believe me. And we spoke really briefly at the show because we were all doing our thing, and I was. I'm not kidding. I mean, I'm a pet lover myself. If every once in a while you hear something, I've got my cockatiels, my parakeets. I brought them in tonight because it's a little, for once, it's getting a little bit cool here in South Florida, and I thought it was going to be too cold to keep them out on the porch. So every once in a while, if you hear the weird noise on your end, that's them because I have them next to me. And as
No
long as I
worries.
have the lights on, especially my cockatiels that are right next to me, they like to like put in their own, comments, but anyway, Carrie, I wanted to ask you, and I asked this of all my guests, was it something, when did you realize that you had psychic abilities, whether it was with people or with pets, was it as an adult or as a child? What happened?
It was actually in my 20s. I'm 40 now, and how it started, I started writing in my journals. I was an English major and I wrote in my journals all the time. I actually started doing that when I was in 8th grade. And in my 20s, after college, I started one day, I was writing in my journal, just creative writing and, just getting my thoughts and feelings down on paper. And my handwriting started changing. And yeah. So I was channeling messages from spirit, and at the time I had zero idea what was happening. I didn't know anything about being psychic or what that meant, or and funny enough, I had always been drawn to the paranormal. I had no idea what was. So
You're cutting out a little bit on me. I lost you.
oh gosh, I'm so
Okay.
sorry. Can you
All
hear
right,
me
you just
now?
came back. There you go.
Okay, I'm
Okay, so
not
you
going
were
to lose
saying
my head.
that you're here, your handwriting's changing, and you have but you weren't predisposed to believe it was anything psychic.
Right. So my dad's a doctor, and so I grew up around a very scientific father, who didn't believe in any of that stuff and still doesn't. And, my mother had never been really exposed to any of that either. So I just grew up not really knowing much about it, but I was always drawn to metaphysical paranormal things, and I never knew why. So, excuse me. And then, so I started writing my journals. I had to put those down. It just freaked me out too much. I was like, what is going on?
I bet.
And so, kind of the turning point, like I said, I'm 40 now. When I think I was 32, and my uncle died. And my uncle was a Methodist minister. He was very much like a father figure to me, very, very kind man, always doing wonderful things for people. And, we'd be in a restaurant and he would tell somebody, hey, it's okay to be who you are. Kind of the messages from spirit or God or universe, whatever you believe in, want to call it, right? And so I kind of watched that, and I kind of learned from that a little bit, and I was always fascinated by that. And so when he died, when I was 32, I was in my room, and the next day I was crying and I was upset, and I said, okay, Uncle Jim, I know I can hear you. And that's literally when the floodgates just kind of opened, and Yeah, and I could hear him, and he said, "I'm okay, and I love you." And that was the moment I just knew that I could hear, I could that I knew that's what was happening, and I knew that explained the journals and everything like that. So,
So, I'm considering that it didn't scare you in the sense of that this was somebody that you loved. So.
it was a very comforting message. It brought me comfort. It brought me closure. It brought me, tears of joy. I was very excited to hear from him, and I knew with all my heart that it was real. I knew I was talking to him because he was showing me things and things about our life together, and things about our relationship that only he would know. And so I knew that it was him. I genuinely knew it was him. And so I said, "Okay, so what does it mean to be psychic?" I started reading all about it. I started reading about psychics. Sonia Choquette, she's a famous
Yes,
psychic medium.
I'm familiar with Sonia Choquette, yes.
I started reading about her and John Edward and or Jen, I think it's John Edwards, and all the other famous psychics. And I was fascinated, and I was like, "Well, wait, I mean, I can do this. This is what I do. This is what I've been doing." So I started practicing on my friends, and one of my friends I was talking to, and I was like, "Okay, I know you're pregnant. You're pregnant, right?" And she's like, "No, I'm not pregnant." And I said, "Okay, well, I know you're pregnant. Stop lying to me." And she said, "No, I'm not pregnant. I'm not pregnant, but I had a miscarriage 2 days ago." And I said, "Oh." And I said, "Well, who's Noni?" And she said, "Well, Noni was my great grandmother." And I said, "Well, Noni wants to tell you that she's got your daughter. She's going to, she's got your daughter. She's safe. She's okay. She's going to bring her back to you in 4 months." And sure enough, my friend got pregnant in 4 months with a daughter, and now has a daughter. So that
She
was
must have wigged out. She must have been like, huh, what?
she
Oh my
did. Yes,
God.
that was the point where I was like, "Okay, there's something to this, and I'm supposed to be giving messages to people. I don't know why. I don't know why this is happening, but I just spirit was calling me. This was I was called to this, right?" So, and then I started doing more and more readings, and the more readings I did, I kept hearing animals, here and on the other side, and it's just kind of evolved from that. I've now been doing readings for about 8 years, being
And
reported
well,
about
you know
5 years.
what? And I was, because, and I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to ask you, when you have that communication with an animal, do they communicate like as in feelings or do you get pictures? Because do you actually get hear, see, like, because I know that we think in images. That's, our mind sees things in symbols. Is that how, when you communicate with an animal, is that how you get messages?
I get my messages in many different ways, like a lot of psychics. So, and this is the thing, we all have the ability to be psychic, and we all have the ability to talk to animals. And I will tell anybody that. How animals communicate is they use telepathic communication. It's how it's always been done. I mean, think about, I always use this example, but I think it's a good one. You think about birds in a V formation, and that first bird has to be communicating to the last one, right? I mean, they have to be somehow communicating. And so they're showing each other pictures in their head. They're communicating, they're showing each other like movies or a cartoon in your head. And that's how I get a lot of my information, is that way. But I also, because I'm a writer, I also see words in my head, and I can also start writing, and things will just kind of flow out. So I also have at a couple times in my life gotten auditory messages. So what that means is that one time I was at my mom's, spending the night and visiting her, and I literally was woken up by a meow, like really loud,
Like a
which
cat,
she
like
does not.
when they go meow. Yeah, is that ooh.
Yes, and she does not have a cat, so that was an auditory. Yeah, and then the very next night it happened with a dog. A dog started barking, and I know it was not dreaming because it woke me up and it was really loud. So, yeah. So I get my messages in many different ways, but mostly they make me feel things, and mostly it's words. So when I'm giving a reading, literally things just start pouring out of my mouth and I don't know where it's coming from. I mean, I know it's spirit, but it just happens.
No, and you know what? As an animal lover, and I've always had animals of all types, of all types, so I understand exactly what you mean as far as, especially when it's animals that you have around you all the time, as in pets, you communicate with them. They kind of, and I'm going to give you a perfect example. And I know people are going to go, okay, Marlene, that's it, Lights on, nobody upstairs. I even have an apiary in the back. I have bees, and they're way in the back of my property. I keep them back there on purpose, close to some orchards, and just to keep them away because so that they'll stay in their hives. And there was a time where I usually would go by there like maybe every 2-3 days or whatever. And if I stayed away more than a couple of days, I would start getting bees around this window where I always sit. And the first time it happened, I was like, oh my God, I don't want them to swarm over here. I was thinking, and that would happen. And a lot of people, especially when you talk to people that have apiaries that have had them for a while, a lot of them will say, because if you look at the scientific, they'll say, no, the bees don't do that. There's no recognition, especially since the, not the queen, but the rest of the hive only has like a 6-week lifespan. Then they're basically churning out new bees every 6 weeks, not all at the same time, but in my experience, animals, they do, it's even insects is my point, I guess, they do communicate with you, of course, if you're also open to it, like a coming and a going thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And even people who aren't open to it, animals communicate with them all the time. They just don't know it.
Yes.
Our pets are always communicating. Our dogs, our cats, they're always communicating with us, whether we know it or not. And obviously that, some of their communication is very obvious, like they're barking when they want food or they're meowing when they want food. But they're always, always talking to us and communicating with us.
So let me ask something. When somebody contacts you, is it because they want to communicate with a living pet, or do they come to you if their pet's passed?
It's probably about 50-50. I get a lot of both types of readings.
Okay.
And I love doing both.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How about, do you ever get people that come to you because they've lost the pet? Not like as in dead, like actually lost it. And they're basically either trying to find it or find out if it's dead. You know what I'm saying? Where you get like...
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I do get those. But honestly, for ethical reasons, I don't take missing animal cases. There's a lot of reasons that I won't go into all the detail now, but, there's a lot of issues because a lot of times, the animals have passed over and I don't want to be the one to tell the person.
You beat me to it again because I was about to tell you.
Yeah.
That's got to be a hard thing to tell somebody that's holding on to that last shred of hope.
Yeah, it is. And it's not something, I have enough interest from other people who their animals are there that I don't want to be the one to give bad news. I don't want to be that person. And you know what? I tell people I'm not 100% right all the time.
Sure.
And I think any really good psychic will tell you that is that it's not a perfect science.
Absolutely.
It's like translating a foreign language a lot of times.
Yes. Yes.
Especially about a pet's death. You don't want to be wrong about that. So there's a lot of ethical.
No. But in essence, I'm sure that a lot of times also, Carrie, what you're ending up doing is confirming what they already know.
Exactly.
But I know what you're saying at the same time. I don't want to be the one to tell you, what you're thinking or feeling or fearing in most cases is you're on the money. Absolutely. I understand what you're saying.
Yes.
So that's a difficult call to make, as far as when somebody comes to you.
It is, and it's hard, and there's so many people that come to me, can you find my dog? And I want to help them so badly because I feel their heart aching, and I feel people too, and I want to help them, and my heart aches for them because I've been there too. I've lost animals, but I can't do it. It's just not, it's spirit has told me that's I'm not meant to do those kinds of readings, and that's okay.
Carrie, do you think that pets come back to us as other pets?
I didn't think that before I started doing readings, but since I've started talking to animals, absolutely 100% yes. And they tell me that it's very rare for them to come back in this lifetime. I don't know what you believe or what your
right.
Your
no,
listeners believe.
I personally believe. I do believe it. Because like I said, I've had animals all my life, and inevitably you lose animals either they die either old age or tragedy or whatever. We are going to outlive them. That's one of the things we kind of overlook when we get an animal, that we're going to
I know.
outlive most of our animals. So, and I've had experiences where, and almost like you said, this is not like wishful thinking, where I know that's, let's say a dog that I've had before has come back to me, and another dog, but it's like, and it's happened to me more than once. And the first time it was almost like what you said, you know, like where you're like, oh, you know, you're just wishing this. And it usually doesn't happen right away. It doesn't happen when you're still fresh and hurting and you know, and all of the above.
Right.
It usually happens maybe a year, 2 years, you know, even sometimes it's happened to me even 10 years after fact.
Well, and that can happen. Let me just say that is rare for it to happen. Animals tell me a lot that they reincarnate. If you've seen a dog's purpose, that's very close to how it actually is. That's a movie and a book. It's fantastic. But they tell me that they reincarnate, but not always in this lifetime. And you know, like I was saying, I don't know what you believe in or what your viewers believe in, but they tell me all the time, we reincarnate. I used to be this person's horse. I used to be this person's dog, and now they're a cat.
Right.
Or I used to be a human even. They're saying we go back and forth because our souls are trying to learn and evolve and grow, and we choose which body form we're going to come in as.
Of course.
And so it's very rare for an animal to come back as yours again in this lifetime. But if they do, my gosh, that's amazing. I will say, too, a lot of people come to me and say, is this my dog? Is this my dog that I had 5 years ago or 10 years ago? And I'll say, actually, it's not, but the energy of your other dog is manipulating this dog.
Right.
And so that's why it feels like your dog. That's why it feels like your cat that you lost. So that happens a lot, too.
Yeah. And you know what? And like I said, and I totally agree with you. Everybody's experience is different depending on. And usually how I end up getting what I call the replacement, it's usually because like of unusual circumstances. Like I'll get a call from somebody. Hey, we found this dog under these circumstances. In other words, it's not like, you know, like when you go out and you pick a dog and you know how people think, this dog reminds me of my old dog, you know, my other dog that passed away. So they're trying to find the replacement. Usually they come to me without me picking them. Like I've had people that have said, look, we found this dog. It's a stray. We can't find the owner. We've gone to the vet. You know, people that know me, that kind of know like I'm a pushover. And hey, can you save us? This is a great, you know, this dog you could tell was well taken care of. We can't find the owner. We went to the local vet. And I said, okay. And then when I go to see the dog, it has all these markings, very, very similar to a dog that I had in the past. Okay. The same, everything. So that's what I'm saying. It's not like where I'm going out there and I'm choosing a dog because, it's either the same breed and in this case, it's not even the same breed. It just has the same markings, the same size, everything that just falls in my lap. You know, I've got another one that I had a police officer friend of mine. He used to work off duty at a supermarket. And he calls me, goes, hey, I got this guy out here. And he says he's really sick. And he's selling this little dog for like $40 because he says he can't keep her. I don't know whether it was true or not. So there I go. And when I got there, this dog looked, it was like very similar to one I had many, many years ago. As a matter of fact, when I was like a teenager. That's what I'm saying. There was a long span of time, you know. So that's why I asked you that question, because based on my own experience, like I said, it wasn't like I want to replace a dog that just died or I'm looking for the same breed and somehow or other they come off left field and they land in my lap, that kind of thing. So.
Well, and I'll say this for you, I feel like it has been right that that is the case, that those animals have come back to you in this lifetime, which is pretty amazing. And I'll tell you this, animals always find us. It
Yes.
has nothing to do with us finding them. People will be like, no, I searched actively for this dog and I found this dog and it was meant to be. I'm like, nope, that animal has a soul contract with you and I guarantee fix you always. It
Yes.
for whatever reason it ends up in the exact shelter it's supposed to be in, or it's born
Yes.
to the exact dog it's supposed to be born to so that you can find it.
Yes.
And they always find us, which is just amazes me.
Yes. You know what they call it? Talk about synchronicity and being at
Oh,
the right place
yeah.
at the right time, or knowing the right per the certain person. I absolutely 100% believe in that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So
Yes.
here you are. Do you and because see you this is the thing, you're an empath, but you're also a medium. Okay,
Yes.
which not everybody does both things. Do you actually, when you go, do you ever have experiences like what happened with your uncle, where you have a person, a human that's passed away, and they come to you wanting for you to pass a message on? Or is it usually when
Oh.
somebody comes to you and asks for to communicate with somebody that's passed on?
All the time, every day.
Oh,
All the time, every day. Yes, I am
really?
constantly hearing spirit, constantly feeling on me. A lot of times it'll be at 3 o'clock in the morning. That's
Oh
when they,
my
you know,
God.
when it's quiet and they're like, hey, please tell her this, please tell her this. And I've gotten to the point where I can shut it off and I can be like, you know, I need you to come back tomorrow. It's funny, we were talking about Scarefest. Usually before Scarefest, about 2 weeks before, I will get nonstop people around me communicating with me, animals communicating with me, please tell her this, please tell her this. I mean, just nonstop, and I can't even focus. I have another job during the day, and it's very hard for me to focus.
I
And
bet.
same with 2 hour or 2 weeks after Scarefest, they're still with me. And it's funny trying to talk to the people at Scarefest that I meet and figuring out who which pet or person is for that, you know, particular person. But they are constantly with me. I feel spirit all the time around me. And yeah, sometimes they're not so friendly and I have to ask them to leave, but a lot of times they're just friendly and they're trying to give messages to their loved ones.
What ha and that's I can imagine. You know, you're thinking, how do I like match up this person to this animal or this other human that was like everybody imagines trying to elbow the other one out of the way, like, my turn. I gotta get my message through. Wow.
Well, just like in real life, you know, some people are louder than others. And so those louder people are going to step forward. They carry the same energy on the other side as they
Okay.
have here. And so some people are really loud and please tell her this, please tell her this. Oh gosh, what's most endearing is when I get a lot of children who come to me who have crossed over.
Okay.
And for whatever reason, I can hear them very clearly and very loudly. And that's always very upsetting to me. And I really try to figure out who, you know, they belong to. Everybody else, I just know
Right.
that spirit's going to tell me who to give the message to at the right time. It's
Okay.
just, it's going to happen, you know, as it's supposed to.
And that's got to be a tough call, let me tell you. When you get a visit from a child spirit, that is got to be one of the most difficult things. And this is the thing. Have you ever come across like what you just said, that example that you gave, that let's say 2 weeks prior to Scarefest, you've got Grand Central Station, everybody and their second cousins trying to communicate with you because, in other words, they understand that your path might actually cross with this person that they're trying to communicate with. Have you ever had anybody, as far as when it comes to a child, that you were able to verify that in other words, that you could pass a message on to them?
Oh, absolutely. When I lived in Charleston, South Carolina, this young man kept talking to me and just saying, please tell him I love him. And this is when I was first starting readings, and I had no idea what I was doing and who was talking to me and what was going on. And it was 2 days later, I met with his dad, and he just started sobbing. And I said, who's so and so? And I said, he feels like a son to me. And he's telling me that it was an accident. He didn't mean to overdose on the drugs, but it was an accident. And his dad just
Oh,
lost
wow.
it. And I actually love doing mediumship readings all the time because I feel like it really brings closure. But
Yes.
I particularly love when children talk to me because it's for me, it's such a comforting, peaceful thing to give their parents a message that their child is
Yes.
okay, because I can't imagine anything harder than losing a child.
That's got to
And
be,
I
I think,
have a
the
daughter.
whole. You torture, I mean, think about it. A parent that's left behind has got to be continuously torturing themselves, wondering, is my child okay? You
Yes,
know?
and what could I have done differently? And so many times they have messages of, please don't feel guilty. This was my path. This is what was supposed to happen.
Right.
Thank you for being my parent. I mean, very, very specific messages about peace and comfort and closure. And that to me is why I do this work. You know,
Yes.
that, and especially when I do mediumship readings with animals, giving their family closure that they're okay. That is why I do this work, to help those people
Yeah,
feel
because
that,
we
to
it's
know
let
that
me
it's
tell you something.
okay.
It makes for the people that are left behind, you know, I mean, even with animals, I mean, you can't compare one thing to the other. Your child is your child, but pets, there's people that I mean, I love my children. I'm always going to love my child more than I love an animal, but you, that animal is like part of your family. Your, you know, the relationship you have with them is just as bad as, you know, when you something's missing from you, whether you lose them or they to tragedy, you know, or they just die because they're old and they just pass away. And in other words, it's not like it's not easy to get over it either. So yeah, I understand why, and to have that, and then I think a lot of people, sometimes, I hate to say it, but us humans like to torture ourselves,
Yes, of
where
course.
we're always, like you just said, we're always questioning, did I do the right thing? Let's say if you euthanize a pet. Did I do the right thing? If you have a child, the same thing. What did I miss? What did I do wrong? What why didn't I do this or why did I do that? I mean, we kind of like can really like not gives us give ourselves any rest. So when I imagine somebody comes to you and you're able to give them a message, that's got to lift such a weight off of their heart.
I hope it does. And I know that, I've gotten readings from other mediums, and that's what it's done for me. So I've been on both sides, and I understand that. And if they're believers, if they're true believers, and I try to give them as much evidence as I can so that they do believe that I'm really connecting with their animal or their person, I do feel like it can be life-changing. And I love being a part of that and being able to help them. I'm here to serve others, and I have a heart of servant of I have a
I
servant's
know.
heart, rather, is what I'm trying to say.
I know exactly what you
And
mean.
just to be able to give that closure and that kind of comfort to people is why I'm here. And it's very fulfilling, and it's
Yeah.
something that's hard to describe to somebody
It's
who maybe has never
that I'm
experienced it.
doing what I am supposed to be doing. In other
Yes.
words, that's your purpose. A lot of people go through their whole life looking for their purpose, and you got your purpose, which is good. I mean, we're multidimensional beings. I mean, you're a mom and everything, but the thing of what you do, some people spend their whole lives trying to find their purpose. So that's believe me, that's really important. And like you said, you know it, you feel it when you know this is it. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah,
and being a
that's
mom, and a wife and a writer. That's, those are also my purposes, but
Yes.
I literally get goosebumps sometimes when spirit talks to me and gives messages for somebody, because I know that I'm literally being used as a medium, and that's why they call it mediumship. I'm being used as a medium so that I can help somebody else, and that's why we're here, is to help and love each other.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes. What did they say? To be of service to others. Carrie, what has been the most unusual animal that's ever communicated with you?
Oh gosh,
And I
that's
know
a
that.
good question.
I mean,
Maybe a sugar glider? Do you know what that
oh
is?
my God, yes, I know I've had sugar gliders.
Yeah,
You had a
yes.
sugar
Oh my gosh.
glider contact you?
They were
Really?
so sweet. Yes, I love
Oh.
talking to sugar gliders. Oh gosh, I mean, I have talked to every type of animal. Well, not every. I mean, I haven't talked to,
Right. No, I know.
wild animals. Some, but I've talked to every domestic animal you can ever imagine. And I would probably say that's the most odd reading I've ever done, but really fascinating.
I know. Sugar gliders are such, they do their own thing. It's like, leave me alone during the daytime,
Yep.
and I'll come out at night and then crab at you. Because that's what they
Yeah.
do.
Yes.
Yes,
They're funny,
yes.
funny little creatures.
They are. They are, but
Yeah.
they're very endearing, even though they kind of like, they're social though. They're social. They usually need, if you don't have another one in there with them, you need to like make an effort to play with them, because they're social animals
Yes.
despite sleeping all the time during the daytime. So, let me and I'm
Yes,
going to
and they
ask
get
this
very
because
depressed.
have you ever had, let's go to the people side now. Have you ever had communication from somebody that's passed on that either
Oh, all the.
was disturbing? That, in other words, you were like, either, because, and you made a good point. What we were like when we're alive, sometimes being dead doesn't improve your disposition or your
Yes.
personality.
Yeah.
Have you ever come across a
Well,
situation like that?
absolutely. And I feel, for whatever reason, spirit tells me that I'm very protective. I have a lot of angels and spirit guides around me, and I have never experienced anything truly demonic, and that I have never seen anything demonic, but I know it's out there. I believe it. I feel it. I do feel very negative energies around me sometimes, and I have to tell them to leave. One time I was in a haunted hotel on a ghost tour, and the ghost basically got in my face and said, "Get the F out." And I hope I can say that on your
Yes,
and
absolutely.
I didn't even cuss. I don't know why I'm asking
Don't worry
that.
about that.
Yeah, and I literally ran down the stairs and across the street because I could not handle the energy. It was so bad. So I feel very deeply that negative energy, and I avoid it like the plague.
Well, and this is the thing, and I'm glad, because to me, when what they either call demonic or non-human, I call them non-human. That's a part,
Yes.
but there's people out there that when they pass on, they were either bad or just terrible people when they were alive, and when they're dead, they're like that. Doesn't mean
Yeah.
they're demonic. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They're or they're
Oh,
non-human.
yeah.
They're just horrible people because they're still horrible people. And of course, exactly what you said, you get that feeling of, I imagine, like, God, you're awful. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? These are the kind that probably want to force their way in and communicate with somebody like you because they don't care. All they care about is what they want. So that's why I was wondering if you ever had that encounter where you had one of these humans, I'm not talking nothing non-human, human, like, want to force in and communicate with you or give you a message because, hey, they just want to run the show, in other
Oh
words.
yeah.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, a lot of it happens around Scarefest time, because there's some negative energy going on there. There's a lot of different energies there,
Yes.
so that it's difficult to deal with. I love Scarefest. It's a fantastic event, but it invites a lot of the demonic stuff in as well. So,
Yes, I believe it.
not even demonic, non-human, but also, yes, just, and
Yes.
even spirits who are trapped, who are maybe murdered or something, they're kind of caught. And I'll tell
Yes.
you, spirits tell me all the time, there's no heaven and hell. You guys are living on hell, like hell on earth.
Right.
We only have heaven up here. It's pure light, pure love. When you cross into the light, that's all there. It's pure love, pure light, and I believe they go to a different dimension. That's a whole other talk show, but I
No,
do believe
I agree
there.
with you. I agree with you.
Yeah, but I do believe there are these entities and these people who are kind of trapped and they are earthbound, and for whatever reason they're nasty, and I don't know what their purpose is. I don't know what they're here to teach us. I don't know why they're here, but luckily I'm very protected and I don't have to deal with them very much in this lifetime is what I'm told. So
Carrie, do you have the ability that if somebody has, like, what they call an attachment, or somebody that's dead that's with this live person, do you ever see that either as part of the person's aura or just with them? Like, you're seeing this person like flesh and blood, then behind them or around them, you see like a dead person. Have you ever had that experience?
I don't ever see spirit. I see them in my mind's eye and I feel them and I can hear them in my head, but I have never actually seen a spirit, at least that I remember. I'm sure when I was little, I probably did.
Right, and I
But
know.
no, I've always,
And you know what
but I
the
know a lot of people can see them.
right, and I know what you're saying. Some people can physically actually see them within their eye, and many of them though
Oh, yeah.
see exactly like what you just described, which is within their mind, their mind's eye. And the reason why I was saying that is that you know how some people they say, well, sometimes it's not the house that's haunted. What's haunted is the person, and that these are the people that they'll move around, and for some reason, they end up having all these paranormal experiences, and later on, they come to find out they're the ones that have got something, spiritual turbulence or something going on around them. And I was wondering, have you ever come across somebody that it's like, whether you feel it or you see it in your mind's eye, like, hey, you got a hitchhiker or something like that.
Yeah, all the time. I mean,
Really?
there's a lot of negative energies out there. There's a lot of people who kind of attract that by their own thoughts, by their own energy. I'm a huge believer in the law of attraction.
Oh, yeah.
And, what you think you bring about, what you feed, what you give energy to, that's what comes to you. So if you're constantly focusing on ghosts and demonic stuff and all that other stuff, it's going to come right to you. You're going to attract that into your energy field.
Right, and
Yeah,
I've heard of
I've,
that
yeah.
theory a lot. Like if you're, for example, let's say if you're an angry person and you're always walking around angry all the time, that you're going to attract angry energy, and sometimes
Yeah.
that angry energy might be an angry dead person, whatever, you know
Oh,
what.
yeah.
So yeah, I
Yeah, you're
absolutely.
going to surround yourself with angry people, angry people are giving you, selling you things, angry everything. That's your energy and that's what you're going to attract.
Yes.
So the more, that's why I always tell people, the more positive you can think, the better. You're just going to attract positive things and people.
Yes. And I think a lot of I've run across a lot of people that they're angry when they're supposed to be angry, but I think after a while they fall back into they're always angry, and it becomes like this is their normal. They're either angry or just more angry. And then you hear that when you talk, you hear about all these things that happen to them in their personal lives, where they run into like other angry people. It's like, what did you expect? You know, you're running around out there putting out all these vibes, these angry vibes. Yeah, and of course, all these unusual angry experiences are going to land in your lap because you're, like you said, you're basically putting it out to manifest something along those lines,
Absolutely.
especially when you do it every
Yeah,
day.
that's exactly what happens. Yeah, the angrier you are, the angrier you get, the more you let the anger control you, that's it's going to keep controlling you. That's just what happens. That's a law of the universe. Yeah, it's a fascinating thing, and there are many, many spiritual laws, not just the law of attraction. There are many spiritual laws, but yeah, I've tried to learn as much as I can.
Okay, I think you cut out a little bit
I
on me.
try.
Okay, there you are. You're
Oh
back.
gosh.
Okay.
Okay, sorry.
It's okay.
I was
No,
just
well,
saying.
the, and you know, and a lot of people say, well, I said, you know what? When I say when, you know, of course we're human beings. Of course we're going to get angry or sad or happy or whatever. Yeah. I'm
Yeah.
talking about somebody that every day in, day out, day in, day out, they, let's say, we're going to use the angry thing again. They're always angry about everything all the time, every day, come and go. Yeah, that's when you start. Not because you get angry one day. Of course, everybody's. It's just as bad to always not to feel, when you're supposed to be angry, to be angry, but then you let it go. It's these people that they're always on angry mode, or whatever mode it might be.
Yeah, and what I call that is being on a lower frequency, and and maybe that's what they're supposed to go through in this lifetime. But
Right.
you think about, the Dalai Lama or any of these authors that are just seem awake and enlightened, and they're not focusing on the negative or the angry, or they're
Right.
focusing on the positive. They're focusing on what they do want in their lives, not what they don't want, and they're just enlightened beings and individuals, and that's what they're supposed to accomplish in this lifetime. So, I mean, I don't know. Even though I will say this though, even the angry, nasty people, there are teachers as well.
Oh, of
They do
course.
serve a purpose. Yeah, they teach us how we don't want to be, right?
Yes. Yeah,
Not,
or
but unfortunately, not everybody's awake to that. They don't know that.
well, yeah, I personally believe that, like you said, life is messy in the sense that, yeah, that we do things wrong, but that we should always be trying to make ourselves better humans, whatever it is. We all have our virtues and we all have our faults. And you're supposed to try to be better. And I think we should be all the way till we're dead. It's not like that older and wiser stuff doesn't always apply. And like you said, whoever crossed your path, it's like, okay, that person's angry. Maybe my first instinct, maybe when I was young and hot-headed, I would have told that person off. And maybe the reason why you cross paths with another angry person or several of them is that you realize, forget it, Yeah, okay, bye, have a nice day, see ya. That's it. Somewhere along the line, you learned to let go, like, of that. Let's say you're these people that immediately, if somebody's angry, they just snap right back and they say something, okay, you got a bad, well, I don't care. I'm gonna up it. I'm gonna go to the next level. But yeah, I believe that everything serves a purpose, including the angry or disagreeable people we run across.
Well, and back to like, older isn't always wiser. I believe that children are wiser than we could ever be because they remember what it's like. I mean, not consciously maybe, but they remember what it's like to be in spirit on the other side. And so they see the world in such with such innocent eyes, and they don't have as much. I mean, some are angry, but they don't have that anger. They don't. They have that innocence and that just that joy and that pure joy. That goes away because society teaches us to be angry.
Sure.
And anyway, I did, sorry, that
I'll
was a
tell you what,
tangent,
in my
but
experience, what I tell everybody is show me how angry you are and I'll tell you how scared you are. Okay, because all it is really is a
fear.
cover for someone that's really truly deeply scared, whatever it is. Sometimes they have good reason to be scared. I think that especially it's a language that we learn when we're very young as a protection, and then after a while, it works. Hey, it works, and then you adopt it and you integrate it, and then I think that's a lot of people that they grow up into adults that are always angry. And you're right, there's some people are more disposed to certain personality traits than other, but with the angry thing, it's like show me how angry you are and I'll show you how scared you truly are, because that's really what you are. That's what you are.
Yes, fear. Fear rules a lot of people, and
Yes.
hopefully one
Yes.
day love will start ruling more people. I feel like we're getting closer to that. I feel like the veil is kind of being lifted a little bit more and more with the new generations coming in. But
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that that is happening. I think that the most I see is that, well, what I always think of is like the, well, sometimes I think it's happening, sometimes I don't. It depends. That people are more responsible for themselves, okay? And I think sometimes people have a little bit of a hard time being responsible about themselves because they. It's easier to say, well, I did that because so and so or whatever. And I'm thinking to myself, I'd rather be responsible, but that means you also have control over your life. And sometimes I think, and I know, especially with teenagers now, no, it's always been with like peer pressures and things like that. But yeah, like self-responsibility and I'm sure you've seen that where things happen and everybody always has to find somebody to blame, Very rarely do you have the person I'll say, hey, you know what? That was my fault. I'm responsible for whatever it is. That kind of thing. That's
Yeah. Because we're
missing out.
human, you know?
Yeah, of course we are. And you
That's
know
what we
what was
do.
it? I read this in a book. What was it? God, it was a few years back. You could kill me right now. I can't remember the author's name. And of all the, it was an interesting book, but she remembers, she goes, people don't learn how to forgive themselves for their mistakes. Let's say you made a mistake when you were a teenager, whatever the mistake was. And people, and they all, and she was also explaining how even family members or parents don't ever, like, you make a mistake and then you let it go. They say, like, for example, parents that when you were a teenager, you do something really stupid. And then you're still 40, and every once in a while, they'll say, "Well, do you remember when you did that? You know, that kind of stuff." And it's like,
Was that Louise Hay? You can heal
no,
your life?
it was not Louise Hay. It was
Okay.
not Louise Hay. Oh my God,
Okay.
I cannot remember her name.
Because she's all about positive
Yes,
affirmations and
but it was
self-talk
one
and
of those things, and one of the things of the whole book that I remembered that I was like, God, she's so on the money with this, was that she said, you make a mistake and you've got to learn to forgive yourself. Like, forgive yourself and let it go. Don't keep replaying or always holding it over your head. Like, and then just say, I guess I'm not going to do that again. Okay, but they say that you do it to yourself, and then other people also do it as well. You know, especially some of the older generations, where it's like, stop torturing yourself. Everybody makes mistakes. The worst I get, and sometimes you even make the same mistake all over again, depending on what it is, of course. But we kind of sometimes hold that, almost where you become, especially as you know, you supposedly learn and you get older, that you don't trust your judgment. Because you always are thinking of that moment where you made that mistake, or maybe a couple of times, or who knows, whatever the case might be. But or you just don't believe in yourself, you know.
Yeah, well, and that's what Louise Hay was all about. She just
Yeah, she
crossed
passed away
over
like a couple
this
of months ago.
year. But gosh, what a bright light. And she really taught me how to talk positively to myself because I didn't learn that when I was little. And gosh, what an inspiration. And I'll tell you, every reading I do, I mean, every reading I feel that from people is that they are just so hard on themselves. They don't forgive themselves for things they've done, for
That inner
mistakes
chatter
they've
that they
made
have
and learned
inside of them.
from. Yes. And it's like the plight of human nature is that we have forgotten how to love ourselves. We don't know how to do that in today's society. We just don't. We're bombarded with all these messages that you're not good enough. You're too skinny. You're too fat. You're too whatever. And we just beat ourselves up. And that's what everybody has to work on.
And I think about the time you actually get it is, I think when you're much, much, much older. You know, these octogenarians, that I think that sometimes when they look at it, I was like, what a waste of time, man. Or why did I waste, you know? Man, if I could go back, but of course, you know, that you finally realize, man, I got caught up in all these stupid, trivial things. Like you said, I'm too skinny, I'm too fat, my hair, it's too curly, it's too straight, it's, you know, whatever. And it's like, stop. You know, like, don't get me wrong, yeah, we should strive to, you know, make ourselves better in the physical. It's not like, hey, don't ignore the physical, because I think it's human nature. It's a combination. No exaggeration in any of the areas. But it's almost like you, when you do that, you lose the ability to enjoy life, because you're so caught up always
Absolutely.
striving to overcome or do or whatever the case might be, whatever it is that, and like you said, and unfortunately we get hammered sometimes, I think, a lot with media, like you said, giving certain body types, or the way you look, you should look, or the way this or the way that, or you need to have this car, or, and then people get caught up saying, oh, then I'll be really happy when the or whatever.
Yes,
And it's like, man.
but happiness is an inside job. It's a right now thing.
Oh, yes.
You choose it.
Yes. Yes. Like, what was it that they said? Like, this is not a dress rehearsal. You know, everybody always thinks, oh, when I get the car, or when I get the house, or when I get the guy, or when I the whatever, then you know, then it'll think it's like, no, this is no dress rehearsal. You're in it right now. So stop like waiting for that magic moment when you think that your real life is gonna start. Because
Yes,
you're
and
in
that's
it
why
right
it's
now.
so,
You're in it.
and that's why it's so important to think positively and
Yes.
think and focus on what you really want and not what you don't want.
Yes, of
Because
course.
that changes everything.
Yes. Yes, I absolutely agree with it. I don't think how can I say? Because I know there's people out there that go, well, I'm not talking about a Pollyanna where, you know, you don't handle or accept or deal with disagreeable situations or things that happen.
Right.
Because that's
Exactly.
inevitable, you know? It's just the people that want to stay within that feeling or don't, and like I say, let's say we're going to talk, let's say what you said about grief. Let's get to that. When you, one of the deepest griefs that a human being could have, which is the loss of another human being, whatever the relationship is, depends. You know, of course you're going to be going through deep grief, but then it's like a process where you're going to go by days, and maybe at the beginning it'll seem you'll never get to that point. And in other words, there is no instant gratification for this. But then there's people that never want to progress towards attaining where I can live and this will not be so as overwhelming as it is right now. And then these are the people that like a year later, they're still grieving the same or even worse than maybe they were the year at the beginning of that when that person passed away. And they don't want to go through what I call the work of I feel horrible today, and then next week you still feel horrible, but then maybe you just feel a little bit better, and then you know it's a work in progress. And just some people they don't they just want to stay in that feeling of whatever it is, you know, feeling
They do
horrible.
because it feels comfortable sometimes. It feels
Yes.
safe to them sometimes. And sometimes that's what they've always known their whole lives.
Yes.
But it's hard to make a change. But
Oh
yeah,
yeah.
I get a change.
Let me ask you something, Carrie. Have you ever had anybody that's come to you? Let's say I'm gonna use a wife or a husband that their spouse, in other words, has passed away, and they are so insistent that they want to communicate with this other person that you're thinking, okay, it's unhealthy. Have you ever had somebody that you're thinking, I've given you a message, but they, in other words, they want to keep a relationship with this person that's kind of in a way impossible because that person's deceased. Have you ever had that?
You would think I would, but I honestly haven't. I mean, I think everybody I've talked to has known that they can't rely on me to continue the relationship that they,
Okay.
and I feel like once I give a reading and they know that that person is okay, yes, it does make them want to come back for more and talk more about. I don't think I've ever gotten to the point where they call me every week and they're like, I need to know what they're doing
Right.
now or anything like that. So that's a good thing.
Okay.
Yeah,
Okay.
I'm not just gonna take people's money and charge them just
No,
to,
and the reason why I'm saying that is that especially, you know, when somebody like you that, you know, here you are, you're delivering that message, which, you know, they know that they're really communicating with this other person that they lost, is that, okay, I feel wonderful now that, you know, like you said, you've lifted that weight off their heart of that initial, is this other person okay? But then it's because there's personalities like that, and I'm sure you've run across them where, okay, I want to continue with this communication, and somewhere along the line they lost the part where, you know, you have to also let this person go, move on and do whatever it is that they're supposed to do on the other side. You just can't keep coming, in other words, trying to live a life that's impossible because they're alive and the other person's deceased. Because they, in other words, they don't want to accept it. They're like in that still emotionally, they don't want to accept that that other person is now, you know, and they and I guess that you're in the middle. And I will always wonder, you know, if you ever get those type of people that because you're good, then they keep come wanting to come back because they just not ready to let go, I guess, is the best thing I can think of to describe it.
Well, Now I'm thinking of one instance where I did have a woman. Obviously, I'm not going to name her name or anything, or her specific messages from spirit. But she did have her father who crossed over, and she was very, very distraught. And she was not mentally stable. And
Oh,
I
okay.
had to gently tell her that spirit needs you. Spirit needs me to sever our relationship so that you can learn and grow on your own and you can find other ways to grieve and heal. And because I am not the person who's going to do that for you, that's up to you. And that's up to, your support network to help you and for you to reach out and get the help that you need. But that's not on me. And
Okay.
so I have had to explain that before, and that was a very delicate situation.
Right.
But luckily, I've never had anybody who, was just so desperate that they needed to talk to their loved one on the other side every other day. Or, I can see where that would happen. But I think, sometimes I maybe if I did not charge for readings, that would happen more.
Oh, I'm
But
sure.
a
I'm
lot of times
positive of it. Absolutely.
yeah, a lot of
But you know
times
what?
the
And the
charge
reason why
kind
I
of gets
say that
people.
is that people don't realize that when you do this type of work, okay, as great as it is, like you said, that you're giving this message to this person so that it makes them feel better, it lightens their heart. You do run across people sometimes that they, whether it's because, like you said, like they might have a little bit of mental illness going on, or they're just so overly distraught. For whatever reason, it can get complicated. All of a sudden, you become the go-between, and they're not ready to just leave it at that. And like you did it. It sounds like you handled it really well. That was very good.
I try to be tactful and polite, and but if I feel like I'm being a therapist or some role I can't handle, yeah, I'll absolutely send them on their way with love and light and explain to them what needs to happen next. So
Yes. No, I could see where things like that, in other words, for lack of a better word, you need to extract yourself out of the equation so that it's
yes.
like I already did the best I could, which was, giving you the message, and you're gonna have to deal with the rest of. And how
Yes.
Carrie, do you ever have and you describe something really interesting with that case that you told me about, where the young man had was telling you, tell my father that it was an accidental overdose. And I'm thinking that that has got to be one of the worst things, as whether it's for a parent or for a spouse, for somebody under those circumstances, they're not really sure, did this person commit suicide? Was it accidental? Or was even somebody else involved? Sometimes, because people sometimes, especially if it's not really clear what happened, have you ever had those communications where they come to you and basically that's what they want to know, is besides that, if that person's okay?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Many, many times. And usually I can get a feel pretty quickly of what happened. And again, I'm not always 100% right, and I'll admit that, but I can usually feel what's happened and if it was, accidental, if it was on purpose.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean, I think that helps still. I can only help people so much though,
Right.
yeah. So it's a sensitive situation
Yes.
in those cases.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's why I was asking you about it, because it's really sensitive in the sense that sometimes it is accidental, as despite what it looks like.
Yes.
And sometimes it's, especially, because, and I'm sure, I don't know if you agree with me that, if let's say somebody has a mental illness, where they become suicidal, that once they pass over, like they understand, in other words, whatever meant was making them mentally ill is not there anymore. That, in other words, but the truth is that they did something that they shouldn't have done, but it was maybe due, like I said, to a mental illness, and you get, it's like, but I imagine that part of it is that they're kind of fulfilling something, some type of contract they had. Do you think that that's the case?
Absolutely do. And I always tell people, I would love to go to a psych ward. I know that sounds crazy, and just study
No.
people, especially schizophrenics, for days, because I'm telling you, they're not, well, I mean, we label them as crazy, but I guarantee you, they are talking spirit. They have full access to spirit, and they, yes, they're crazy, and they don't make sense, and they're going on and on, but it's probably because they're tormented by very negative energies and lower frequencies. But,
Yes.
yeah, that, oh gosh, that just fascinates me. Sorry, I think I went off on a tangent
No, well,
again.
no. Let me tell you
I don't know
something.
if that
I've
answered
heard
your
this more than
question.
once that a lot of people think that
Yep.
people with mental illnesses are open channels sometimes.
Yes, I believe that. I absolutely believe that. And yeah, oh yeah, so back to your question. Yes, they are fulfilling a soul contract. And just like I say, children who are born with physical ailments or who are born with Down syndrome or something like that, they are definitely here to be our teachers. And yes, it's going to be a rough life for them, maybe a rough life for their parents or teachers, or but their soul, they are fulfilling a purpose, and they came here knowing that,
Right.
and they fulfill that purpose, and they teach us so many things, and everybody around them learns and evolves and grows from that experience.
And you know what? I was going to ask you about this, Carrie, because like you, what we were talking, what you just mentioned, where people, when they're born, whether it is a birth defect, whether mental illness, something that just makes life really difficult for them. And I know that there's people out there that subscribe to the idea that it's like almost like a punishment. If we're talking, let's say, the wheel of reincarnation, let's go down that road, okay? Where they're paying back the karma kind of deal, where you're basically being punished. Or I don't subscribe to that. I just think that at some point, in other words, that you're getting. That this is how you're going to learn. I don't always think that of it as a punishment, as even though the maybe the lesson from anybody looking from the outside, it looks really difficult. Sometimes, like you said, I think that it's just something that soul needs to experience for whatever reason, not because maybe they were horrible people before, let's say, to the mentally ill, just it's not your turn. I don't think that. I just think that it's just something that soul needs to experience for whatever reason.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I do believe that there is some karma balancing. I don't exactly know how that works because I'm still here. I'm on this side, and I've forgotten. I don't remember all of that, but everything I learned on the other side. But yeah, I definitely believe that we have a purpose, and we come back knowing this is what we're going to learn. This is how we're going to learn, even if it's not a happy life. We come back knowingly and willingly to learn and evolve. And eventually, you're going to get to the place where you just experience very, very high frequencies and enjoy and experience joy and enlightenment. And that's a
Right.
beautiful thing to strive for, I think.
Right. And I mean, I personally don't subscribe to the belief of hell in the sense of, the people. And I remember one time, I don't know if you've heard of Sylvia Brown. She's passed away, but you know that besides being psychic, she, and I still believe she has a church that's still in
She does.
existence. And I remember one time somebody had asked her, "Oh, well, what happens to, let's say, a serial killer? Somebody's really horrible, and they pass away, they die, whatever, their income." She goes, "Well, I remember she says basically what they do is they turn around and they come right back in to be re reborn again to learn whatever it was that they lacked, okay? Without the, in other words, the transition where you learn whatever it is that you needed to learn. And if you need to, you come and you pick out, like you said, your parents or whatever circumstances." And I think that that's one of the things where a lot of people always wonder about, like, if there is no hell in the sense of the traditional view of hell, what happens to people like that, to souls that do such horrible things. You see what I'm saying? It's like, okay,
Yeah.
so what? Don't they ever get theirs?
I do, but that our universe or God or whatever you want to believe in is good, and that it, ultimately our punishment is here on earth and not there. And so,
Right.
if we do, if we are horrible, if we are a serial killer or something, or mentally ill or whatever, we do come back and see the other side of that, so that our soul has learned so much from those experiences of both
Right.
lifetimes. And also a karma balancing. Maybe they're murdered in this lifetime, and
Right.
I don't know for sure exactly because I'm human. I don't remember. So,
Exactly.
I mean, I yeah. It just it's a very interesting topic, though.
Well, and one of the things, for example, one of the things that because there's sociopaths and then there's psychopaths, and some theories say psychopaths are born. Not all of them are killers, but basically one of the ingredients is that you're born without a conscience. Okay? You're into control. Not every psychopath goes around killing people. But they don't feel or understand love the way a regular person does. And I was thinking to myself, if that was the case, can you imagine what great karma that when you come back in, you're born with one of these people that's ultra feely, where you went through a lifetime not feeling nothing, not really, and maybe you learned how to imitate emotions so that people wouldn't like wig out around you. And then you come back in and you're one of these ultra feely people. It's like, man, that's it. That's karma right there.
It's a very interesting thing to think about, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. I
And
believe it all balances out, though, for somehow, some way, it all balances out.
right. And like you said, and I know a lot of myself included, because we're all human beings, we want a when somebody does something against us that we want to see them punished, it's like, I want to see it. I want to know that that person got theirs. But sometimes you just never know what ever happens to that person. If somebody did wrong to one of yours, to you, you never have that satisfaction of knowing. And I imagine, and I don't know if you ever, which was leads into my other question, do you ever have communications where it's about forgiveness?
I was just going to say the word forgiveness because that is seriously one of the hardest things that we have to learn to do in this lifetime. And a lot of people don't ever get it. And, there's certainly aspects of my life where I haven't gotten there yet. And it is the hardest thing, I think, even harder than giving ourselves love, is forgiving others for things that have happened, for things that they have done to us, or that we perceive they have done to us. That is the hardest thing for humans to learn from. And I think when you get to a point where you just know that you just send this person, wrap this person in love and light and forgive them no matter what they've done to you, that is the ultimate sacrifice. I mean, that is the ultimate truth in my mind. I don't know who gets there besides the Dalai Lama, or
Well,
I don't, or the,
do you ever get, and I imagine you must, but I want to ask, do you ever get people that, besides the obvious of wanting to know if that person that's deceased is okay, is that saying, I want to know if that person forgave me for whatever reason?
Do I get the question from my people who I read for?
Right, like let's say it, because there's people sometimes, like I said, whether they have good reason, maybe they did do something wrong. It's not always like you're torturing yourself over no good reason. Maybe you really did not act the right way with this person. And then the moment arrives and it's too late because this person died, and you realize, I need to know if this person forgives me. Do you ever have them coming to you?
And usually if you're saying out loud, "I forgive you," they can hear you. I do get that a lot.
Yeah, I imagine. I imagine, because sometimes, like I said, some And even if I'm sure, even if you told them exactly what you just said, well, all you need to do is say it out loud. They want to still keep their feet to the fire, and they want to get it from a third person, which is like when they come to you and like, hey, does this person really truly forgive me for what I did or didn't do?
And
And
I believe
if,
on the other side they do.
yeah.
They're able to forgive us no matter what happened. You know, here we're not able to do that so easily.
Yes. Or the other way around, where they kind of have been hanging on to maybe the person that passed away did do something bad. Just because you're dead doesn't mean you're a saint, whatever. And this person that's left alive needs to tell them, look, I forgive you, because they realize that for them hanging on to whatever it is that went wrong, it's killing them. And and it's almost like one of these things that as long as both people are alive, whatever went wrong is still there. And then when one of them checks out, it's almost like, wait a minute. And then a lot of people have that realization late. Do you ever have that where they want to say, let this person know I forgive them for whatever XYZ, whatever they did. Like almost like
Oh,
I can't
all the
tell them because
time.
I don't think would they be able to hear me? I can't communicate with them.
Oh, yeah, all the time. That is a very big theme in a lot of my readings is please tell them I forgive them, or do they forgive me? Or that is definitely a question I get a lot.
Yes. So I imagine you
And
probably
sometimes
tell
the
people you
people,
better like let go of your grudges and don't wait till somebody
yeah.
dies, right?
Right, I do. I tell people a lot of what John Edwards said is, you know, appreciate people while they're here, validate them. I forget what else he said on his talk show, but it's important to really kind of not tie things in a bow because we're human and we're not perfect, but just, you know, make amends before it's too late.
Right.
That's very, very important.
Right.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I'm sure that you've had situations it's like that we don't all necessarily die of old age. It can
Oh,
happen.
yeah.
And that's the part where a lot of people get they think that they're going to have more time to make it right, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And
We just
sometimes I
never
think
know.
that
Life is precious.
No, it ends up, don't get me wrong, I know that sometimes people do horrible things to others, and other t sometimes it's petty stuff, but other times one of them really does have a legitimate reason, is what I'm saying. But then it's like, especially like when you have one party that's been victimized by the other, that kind of thing. And I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes on, but it's almost like, as long as you're hanging on to that, you're still being victimized versus telling somebody, hey, you know what? I forgive you. And that's it, and let it go. And I know that's a hard thing. That's a hard thing for a lot of people to hold on to, because sometimes the anger is just makes me feel better because for whatever reason. So
It's a
Carrie,
safe feeling.
well, it's like every personality's different, and it's one of those situations. It's easier said than done, especially when you're not the one in the hot seat, because when it's something that's done to you, then you can forget it. All the logic flies out the window. But
Absolutely. Good for you, then.
I imagine that you must hear a lot of stories where people, if given a second chance, they would have either made amends, or not even if they make amends, just like have that, hey, I'm sorry, I forgive you, and yeah, go your way. That doesn't mean we have to be friends, but they kind of let that go.
Yeah, and forgiveness, it's a powerful thing. It doesn't always have to be actually said to the person you're forgiving. As long as you can forgive them in your heart, that kind of sets you free.
Yes.
And
It's
I tell people that a lot.
Yes. You hear that I've heard that happen a lot. And I have even had people describe where people that have had long standing grudges they even have physical ailments
Oh,
that
yeah.
once they actually go through that that forgiveness thing, even if it, like, physically they get better.
Oh,
And they don't
yeah.
realize it till later, like, man, after I did that, all of a sudden I'm whatever their ailment was, that you could, in other words, you could physically see it on their person, it disappears. And that's when they realize this was all tied into this feeling of anger that I had towards this other person, and that I thought that as long as I was withholding my forgiveness, I was still, like, in control. And it's like, yeah, it was, but you don't realize that you're also wearing yourself down by holding on to these emotions.
Absolutely. I mean, that's why we, that's a whole other talk show
Oh,
too. Yeah,
yes,
we
of
create
course.
disease because of all these emotions that we hold on to that we don't need to.
Okay. All right, so Carrie, what I'm going to do is I've got your that your website is talktopets.com, right? Is that your main website if people wanted to get in touch with you?
Yes, and I'm on Facebook, Carrie Kennedy Pet Psychic. It's Kennedy. It's spelled funny.
Okay.
Also, anybody can email me at mypetpsychic@gmail.com.
Okay, perfect. And whether they want to set an appointment, whatever the case might be, that's the best thing is to, get a hold of you through one of those sources and then take it from there, is what you're saying.
I usually get respond pretty quickly and schedule something. And I'm a planner, so I like to get things on a calendar ahead of time. And I usually mypetpsychic@gmail.com is the best way to reach me.
And let me ask you something. How do you do? Do they have to go to see you in person? Can you do it over the phone for somebody that's not in town? How can people get readings done with you? Does it have to be in person?
No, 99% of my readings
Okay.
are phone readings,
Oh,
from
okay.
people all over the country. I've talked to people in Australia and England as well.
Oh, perfect.
So yeah, I just all I need is a picture of the person or the animal they want me to tune into, and it's just as strong. So
Oh, great, great, fantastic. Yeah, the wonders of, I'm telling you, that allows you to reach out and talk to everybody. Carrie, thank you so much. This has been such a wonderful interview. Okay, something
Oh,
very
thank you.
dear to
I've
my
enjoyed
heart.
every minute
And
of
I will
it.
be getting in
Thank
touch
you.
with you. Like I said, I'm going to have a link to your website on here for anybody that wants to go ahead and get in touch with you and either, set up a reading, whatever the case might be. But I'm telling you, you do it all, and not everybody does it all. But that pet thing, I'm coming from a pet lover, it's like, wow.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun. And I love animals, so
But that's something really special,
it's a
though.
lot
That's
of
something very, very special. Okay.
Thank you so much.
No,
You've
thank
been
you,
a
darling.
wonderful host.
Have a good day. Have a good night. Take care, okay?
Too. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, guys, I love that interview. I absolutely loved that interview. Like I said, I met Carrie when I was in Lexington for Scarefest, and she had her booth, and I spoke to her real quick, and I got her card, and I was so impressed with her. She's a sweet, sweet lady, and she's the real deal. She is the real deal. I know. Okay. A lot of people think that just because you're psychic or sensitive, that means you're a nice person or you're sweet. And that's not the case. Let me give you an example. You know that for any of those Stephen King aficionados, there's a movie that they made called Rose Red. It's been out for a few years. But anyway, the point I'm getting to is, they bring in a bunch of psychics into this supposedly very haunted house. One of the most powerful psychics there was a really dislikable guy. Remember the guy that had his mommy, even though he was a full-grown man, his mom was still, like, making his life impossible. He was a real disagreeable character. And he was really psychic, powerfully psychic. The point I'm trying to make is, just because you're psychic or sensitive or medium does not mean you have to be a nice person. You could be a real jerk. And the point I'm trying to make is, Carrie is psychic and she's sweet. She's a good person, and I think that's what facilitates her communicating with animals, because animals sense things about people, which has nothing to do with how psychic they are. That you could be the most psychic person to the nth degree, but if you're an ass, I doubt any animal's gonna wanna communicate with you. And you might be very psychic, by the way, because sometimes there's this misconception that the more psychic you are, the more enlightened you are. Not necessarily, okay? As a matter of fact, there's a lot of people out there that are highly psychic, and they're jerks. And they've just, I mean, I could go into what develops or makes them extrapolate that psychic ability they have. Usually starts with really bad childhood experiences. But anyway, bottom line is, she's the real deal. She's very sweet, and that's why I think that animals, she can communicate with animals the way she does, besides the human beings. I think animals are on a different level, and because animals can't communicate with us the same way humans being can't with verbal, talking, that they communicate with us, or they know about us, not only because of the tone of our voice, they look at our eyes, our facial, our body gestures, and also what we put out, because that's the way they communicate. They don't have vocal cords. And they develop that ability to sense things about people. And that's why I think they come to her. I think that's why when she does readings for people about their pets, that's why she can do it. Because animals feel her goodness. How's that? Yeah, they do. So anyway, guys, I hope you liked the show. Please subscribe to my channel. Hit the like button, very important. I do a lot of live streaming on Facebook and on Twitter via Periscope. I am going already to be releasing going into season three of Stories of the Supernatural, and it's been fantastic. I'm already prepping my shows for 2018. Believe it or not, season three. I'm already prepping that. So I hope you guys come back. I welcome your comments. I try to respond to them as much as I can. I have a lot of interesting people coming on, a lot of interesting places I'm going to go, things of that nature. But I always welcome any suggestions or requests. And most importantly, I want to say thank you so much for participating. Thank you so much for watching. It is my pleasure, and take care.